Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, all about the Bills with a UK twist. Matt and Alex, here as usual. Alex, we've got Stu from the Seahawks UK on the show. What are you feeling?
Weird matchup against the Seahawks, a team that we don't see very often. So it's definitely going to be a situation of two teams feeling each other out. Weird stuff happens in these kind of matchups. So we'll talk to Stu about what to expect, what his expectations for the season are. We'll talk about what he feels about the Bills matchup, if he's worried about it, if he's confident about it. It's definitely an interesting perspective on a odd opponent.
Yeah. So sit back and enjoy if you're watching us on YouTube. Turn the volume up if you're listening to us on our podcast platforms. And here's our interview with Stu from the Seahawks UK. Enjoy. And we welcome onto the podcast from the UK Seahawks. It's Stu. Stu, thank you very much for your time and coming on the podcast.
No worries. I appreciate you reaching out and having us on to talk about a season which may not happen.
Yeah, that's true.
We definitely talked about that. So the question that I find most interesting that I want to ask everybody is since I was from Buffalo, that's why I'm a fan. How does someone in the UK become a Seahawks fan?
There's all different stories, I think. I'm sure it's the same with Matt, where there's different generations. Like my generation is, there's some from pre-Super Bowl 40, and then there's quite a few, obviously, since 2012, 2013. But for me, the first game I remember watching when I started staying up far too late was the Seahawks. I think it was the Vikings. All I remember about it was on Channel 4, Channel 5 over here, and Sean Alexander went crazy for about four touchdowns, about 190 yards as well. It's 2003, 2004. I didn't really watch it religiously, but then from like 2006, he just like progressed. And then 5 years ago, went over to Seattle for the first time, and I just kind of... Once you make that investment, it's kind of you're in too deep at that point.
You're in, yeah. I remember Sean Alexander. He was a big favorite of mine. My first year playing fantasy football, he was my first round pick.
Yeah,
well, so I'll always remember that.
All I remember is I watched the game. It was Sunday night on Monday Night Football. I woke up the next day and I went on kitbag.com, and the only jersey they had was a 37 Alexander Reebok jersey. So I still got it somewhere, but that's like the first
40
quid. Yeah. doesn't fit me anymore either, though, but never mind.
No, I don't think any of mine do at the moment.
Just hang it up, you know. It looks good hanging up, so it looks good.
Yeah. Well, not to name drop after 40 seconds, but I've got a Walter Jones throwback one, which I'm lucky enough to struck up a connection with him over the last couple of years, and he signed it. And so I really can't wear it again. So if anyone knows a cheap way place to get a frame, but that's why I want to kind of start doing with the old jerseys.
Yeah.
They don't fit, and I don't want to wash it. So
yeah,
right. I get that.
Well, I mean, let's talk about obviously Seahawks. That's why we're on here. Obviously, talking Week 9 Seahawks at the Buffalo Bills. Mm. Big news for you guys, Jamal Adams. Is he worth the two first-round picks? And are you trying to rebuild the version 2.0 of the Legion of Boom?
No. I think he answered that question brilliantly on his first press thing with the Seattle guys a few days ago. He said, like, he loves what they did. He respects what Earl and all that did. But him, Quandre, Shaquille, Trey, and maybe Quinton Dunbar, they're setting about creating their own legacy, creating their own path to being that. In the same conversation, but like for me, like we haven't done a podcast of the UK guys since that, but there's definitely like a before Jamal and after Jamal kind of hopes and aspirations for the year, and like I'm all in. If like it's like the Seahawks haven't picked before 15 since 2012, and when they did, it was Bruce Irvin. So the price is a lot. I think the third round pick is more. I'm not too sure. Like, yeah, but like we were never going to get a player like Jamal Adams at the back end of the first round. The next 2 years, we're probably not going to get a Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
In the third round, and Bradley McDougal served a purpose, was a solid player, but I mean, yeah, that the defense has a whole different feel and swagger and look to it with Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs back there than it did without Jamal Adams. So I'm fine with it, to be quite honest.
So you're saying it definitely feels like a final piece of the puzzle kind of thing for your defense?
Not final piece, but it's definitely pushed it forward tremendously.
Yeah.
Because obviously our pass rush is still a massive question mark. We signed Benson Mayowa, we signed Bruce Irvin, we drafted Daryl Taylor in the second round, but obviously Clowney is the big one. He's kind of what we expected to be there, but that's still up in the air. So if that, I think Clowney and or like a similar player, that would be the final piece, that defense. Mm.
I see,
but it's just I can't really. It's kind of like Bruno Fernandes was to Man United, I think, for that defense. He's kind of just took it on a different level, and he's kind of probably going to save Ken Norton his job come December.
January. I don't get that reference. Sorry.
it's just one player is just going to make such a massive difference.
I'm taking you're a Man U fan then.
No. I'm a Coventry City fan.
That's fair enough.
It's just a broad. It was just a broad reference. I thought maybe, but
yeah,
transatlantic.
No, so you mentioned a little bit about your off season so far. So are you happy with the additions you've made, and like, what's your overall confidence level going into the season?
I mean, like I said a couple of minutes ago, I think there is definitely a before Jamal, after Jamal. Okay. I think that is a fork in the road. It was kind of. Like just go and pay Clowney. You only got three and a half sacks, but he's incredible. He's incredible to watch. He's so disruptive. I mean, he got like
creates 40, pressure.
Yeah, like he doesn't get the numbers, but just watching him is just a massive thing. So
yeah,
and then we signed every offensive guard, I think, on the free agent market as well. So we've got about 22 of them, I think, this last.
Well, you just lost one of them to COVID.
Yeah, but we still got, I think it's like 45% of our roster are cool play left or right guard. But yeah, the Jamal thing, I think, has kind of pushed it on a bit, but they've spent a lot of money, and there's still a lot of uncertainty around 90% of them. I think Bruce Irvin's going to do a job because he did before. Benson Mayowa, not too sure. We've changed centers, got BJ Finney there as well. But outside of that, it's kind of like you just throw it up in the air and hope it comes down.
And you've also got Metcalf. He's pretty much going to be the X factor for you guys this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's talk of Antonio Brown, which I just want absolutely no part of at all.
Especially with the suspension games. Now. So
yeah, well, 8 games, but I mean, Antonio Brown with nothing to do for 8 weeks is slightly concerning. Josh Gordon is still in the area, so I mean,
really? If
it's Josh or AB, Josh Gordon is just so much more palatable than the whatever Antonio Brown could bring. But they spent a lot of money, and there's still a lot of question marks. But I think that's kind of been forgotten somewhat with the Jamal Adams.
Yeah, position. And you had a decent enough draft, didn't you?
Yeah.
You got some good service. You got some good players there for the obviously for the future. Any that are going to come in and make a bit of an impact?
Yeah, well, it's another reason why the trade giving up 2 first-round, because Jordan Brooks was our first round pick at 27, 28, and he's probably not going to play. He's definitely not going to play all 3 downs. So it's kind of like if that's what you get for your first round pick last year. I think he was active for like 3 games. I think he had like a tackle for a loss.
Yeah.
So, but I think he's definitely with the view that KJ Wright has probably got a year left. Bobby Wagner may not have. I mean, Pete Carroll is somewhat averse to 31 and overs, it seems. So it's going to be interesting with him in a couple of years. But after that, Daryl Taylor looks he looks like Cliff Averill. Cliff Averill was massive on him as well when we had him on our podcast a few weeks ago. Then Damian Lewis was a third round pick, I think. He's a guard who looks and he just looks like he's just meant to play for the Seahawks. And after that, it's again just kind of up in the air. I mean, with the tight end we got in the seventh round, Stephon Sullivan, looks fun, and he seems to be fun in a couple of media calls. But the first three picks again have the easiest path, I think, to make an impact, especially Darrell Taylor with still no Clowney.
Yeah. So, I mean, last year in games, you were 7-1 in away games. You're also 5-3 versus teams with good defenses. Is there anything about the Week 9 game coming up against the Bills that really that you're worried about or you think could swing the game either way?
Well, I think, you're watching from afar, obviously, because I wasn't really watching intently your games. It just seems that your defense is kind of like a chameleon. It kind of just causes issues no matter what the offense they go against. And ours is quite vanilla at times, despite the quarterback we have. Obviously, it's just run, punt the ball away, and hope that the defense holds up. So I think the defense matchup, Sean McDermott always causes problems when we played the Panthers. It seemed every 6 weeks we played the Panthers for about 5 years with Cam Newton. Then on the offensive side, Stephon Diggs is just, that might be my favourite off-season move any team's made. I think it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets out of Minnesota, which is kind of, I'm not too sure what's going on down there. But yeah, Stephon Diggs with John Brown, and then obviously you got your running backs as well. So the offense could cause us some issues, especially if we don't get to and pen in your quarterback. Because I think when we played the Vikings a couple of years ago, I think we triple covered Stephon Diggs, which obviously is not ideal when you got John Brown on the other side of the field. So when the schedule first came out, I jumped on one of the American Seahawks pods and I was like, if we can win that, then we've sold one. I think that's a game which you kind of a win is a Brucey bonus, I think.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, as you say, you've got a pin in Josh Allen. Obviously, he can escape with his legs. He can beat you in the air, especially short to medium range.
Yeah.
How was your defense against running quarterbacks? Do you think that you can hold him in, you can pin him in to keep him in that pocket to allow your pass rush and your secondary with new Jamal Adams trying to hawk him off?
Well, I've been to Seattle, how many times have I been to Seattle? Four times? And three of those times I went to the Buffalo game 4 years ago on Monday Night Football, and Tyrod Taylor and Robert Woods annihilated us. So we won, but I mean, I think Robert Woods had like 180 yards that night, and Tyrod Taylor just ran around like he was playing.
It was a good first half,
Then the year before that, it was Carolina, and Cam Newton. And then last year I went to the Ravens game and Lamar Jackson just broke every single one.
Tough game to go to.
65. I mean, watching Lamar, I mean, obviously Lamar and Josh Allen aren't as, well, hopefully.
No, he's in his class all by himself.
Yeah, I mean, it was just incredible. Like, the person I watched it with was like, yeah, we've still got a chance. Like, no, we haven't. He's going to get 8 yards here. Oh, there he goes. He got 15. So. But I think, so the mobile quarterbacks weirdly do seem to cause us some issues, but the defense last year was, I think Lamar was pre-Quandre Diggs as well, so it was probably Tedrick Thompson, which was an interesting experience. But it's weirdly one which we, I mean, even back when Kaepernick was in San Francisco, although we beat them, he still got away and had some big plays. I mean, he has the greatest touchdown pass I think I've ever seen thrown in that championship game in 2013 to Anquan Boldin. But it's a weird thing where we always seem to have issues with, but I'd hope that we, obviously week 9, there's obviously going to be enough on tape with Stephon that we can put to it. But I think it's definitely something that I'll be able to answer after 1 or 2 weeks of watching what the Jamal Quandre defense looks compared to last year, because it wasn't great. Yeah. It wasn't fun. Also, I think that Lamar Jackson is the main reason why one of the big reasons they went after someone like Jordan Brooks, because linebacker just was not mobile enough to keep up, and he seems someone who there's a bit of a QB spy in college. So that could be something which is a big thing. But it's a weird one we always seem to struggle with.
Yeah, I think the Bills put that blueprint in place when they played the Ravens and managed to limit what Lamar could do on the floor. So let's hope no one's watching that game and actually apply it to Josh.
I think they probably will watch all of the games, Matt. They have time. One thing that I was worried about when I was researching the Seahawks was you guys being 7-1 in away games last year. That's a crazy good stat. I was thinking coin flip about this game to predict it, but now I'm kind of like, if with Jamal Adams and knowing that you guys are good, well coached in away games, we just, our previous interview, I did the Steelers and I said it's going to be a close game. I kind of think we might lose. I kind of feel the same way too. I mean, are you confident about this specific game or do you think it's a coin flip as well? I mean, like, Matt, what do you think too? Like, you both take it.
Let's you go first.
Yeah, I
mean, like, it's usually a 3-point swing, don't they? That's what they usually say. It's usually 3 points for the home team. That kind of feels slightly right. I mean, obviously, we're talking a few weeks out, but like I said, I think if we can win in Buffalo, that's a Brucey bonus. That's one.
Yeah, which
you'd be happy to get, but you're not banking everything on getting, especially with what we have either side of it as well. But it's one I don't have a glowing feeling about. I mean, last year was a weird year. I mean, we were 4-4 at supposedly the best home field advantage in the league and went 7-1 and we played in Philadelphia and all over the shop. Carolina, we played all over the country last year. Yeah. We won 7 games. Then we won in Philadelphia in the playoffs as well. So it was a weird, weird year. So that's going to correct itself somewhat, I'd expect, especially with, I mean, we don't really know what's going to happen anyway, but yeah, if we can win, then I'll be delighted. But I'm not expecting us to win in Buffalo, to be quite honest.
I like the sound of that.
I mean, all right. Last week, when we did the Steelers, I was confident that we were going to win on this one. I will actually say this is a coin flip on that one. The Jamal Adams introduction, that's actually done well wonders or can do wonders. We're happy that he's left the Jets, so we can actually beat the Jets twice again this season. And obviously, Metcalf is and Chris Carson, running back, I think they can, on the day, can really cause problems for any team. And obviously, Russell Wilson, you've got to make sure you stop him running as well as actually throwing. So he's obviously, hopefully the Bills put the same blueprint they put in for Lamar Jackson last year for Russell Wilson. And we can
Is Russell still running? I mean, I know he's kind of getting up there in years.
Well, not by design. He kind of has to quite a lot.
Last year, the offensive line.
But he's unbelievable. There's like an 8 or 9 win floor to every Seahawks season that guy plays quarterback in, because he's unbelievable. Like, some of the things he can do, the way he just drags team. Like, some of those wins, the close wins we had, were because of him. They weren't because of failings on the offense or on the defense. Like, they were just mainly just because he willed them to existence. So he's ridiculous. I was completely wrong about DK Metcalf. So was I. he's going to be a 1,200 yard receiver this year, I think.
He definitely lived up to his pre-combine kind of hype.
But yeah, I mean, getting him at 63 is just—it's going to look ridiculous. And then Chris Carson, Rashard Penny probably isn't going to play. I'll be amazed if he's playing by week 9. His recovery is going well, but this 8 months from when he did his knee, and we just brought Carlos Hyde in as well. So again, running game is a bit up in the air because Carson has a bum hip and likes to fumble the ball quite a bit as well, which is a concern. But yeah, I'm not looking for. I don't think we have a great record in Buffalo. So last time we played Buffalo on the road, we played in Toronto, and I think we scored, it was 53-16 or something ridiculous.
No, yeah, you wiped the floor there.
Yeah, but I don't think we have a good record in Buffalo.
The only Seahawks game that I can remember against Buffalo is the Drew Bledsoe game, early 2000s. I think Willis McGahee scored 4 touchdowns. Wow. It was insane. I think there was a special teams touchdown as well. Fake field goal. I'll always remember that. I don't know why. But
I remember that because we had like 4 years of that with Jeff Fisher in St. Louis. As well.
Yeah. So, obviously, thank you very much for your time, Stu.
No worries. Thank you.
Is there anything, where can people find you? When have you got anything lined up? You mentioned doing some of the pod, you got a UK Seahawks pod?
Yes, we have a UK Seahawks pod, myself and one other guy, Adam. We've been doing that, 4 years? 5 years? I don't know, we've got about 120, 130 episodes in. We haven't done one for a few weeks because before Jamal Adams, nothing happened for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But we've had Cliff Averill on, Mina Kimes. She came on, Mark Robinson. Who else we have? We've had lots of pretty cool people. It's good fun. So that's the Pedestrian Podcast. That's on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean. Our UK group on Facebook is UK Seattle Seahawks fans. On Twitter, it's Seahawks UK, which we try and throw all the pods go up as well and try and get some conversation with all the other UK groups and all the other fan groups along the way. But yeah, like, massively do appreciate you guys having this on and let me ramble on about Jamal Adams and Russell Wilson for 20 minutes.
Well, we'll wish you good luck for the season, but just not week 9.
Not week 9, yeah.
Ditto, I think. Also, maybe the 2 weeks against Bill Belichick, because that's always funny to watch.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
no matter what happens with the Patriots, we always need the luck, so.
Yeah. So, Stu, thank you very, very much for your time on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Not us.
Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Those on 3. 1, 2, 3.